Glad to see Scotty. I saw Scotty and the little family back there this morning. We're always glad to have them here with us. It's a real privilege to have them here. And I was thinking that I always get Brother Londa, both boys mixed up. There's several of them. I saw one of them. He doesn't come to church with us that much, but he does come when he gets a chance and throwed up his hand at me as he started in today. And I think Brother Stafford's son-in-law, one of Brother Londabo's boys, is also here. Well, we appreciate him coming to be with us. Billy, he's got to where he's coming pretty regular now. I don't know where Bill's moved in close by, or it's just working out better for him to make his trip. But he's coming regular with us. And I believe I heard that Denny had got moved up. I don't know whether Denny and his family is here this morning or not, but somebody was telling me that he did get him a place. I'd seen a vision where they had got moved up, and at the same time, that bay was getting moved up. I saw so many people that I just couldn't account for them. They was everywhere. As the old saying goes, in every crevice and crack, I could see from the church, and it was just kind of a rolling like it is around the church, and every little hillside and every little valley, and there's people, people, people. There was elite from the upper echelon, and there was people from the common walk of life, and there was people that was all kind of people. And some of them couldn't find a place to stay, so they was going to stay anyway, so they just pitched them a tent, and it was tents everywhere. And they didn't just come through to say hello, they come through to stay. But it was really a phenomenal thing. I couldn't tell just exactly what was happening. I don't know what the vision had to do with, whether it indicated people coming in here or more and more people taking to the messages out across the nation or the world. But anyway, it was kind of a phenomenal thing to see. But we're glad when you come up here to be with us, whether you come just to be in service or whether you come to be part of Little Bethlehem, home of the soul, actively engaged in world evangelism, trying to do a frontier work for God. And indeed, it is a frontier work. If you don't believe it, ask Brother Ron and some of them that's out on the frontier. It gets rough, but nevertheless, people are still doing the work for God. They always have and they always will. Sometimes it gets real dangerous, but it doesn't stop them from doing it. In the dark age, back in the days of the martyrs, women as well as men gave their lives for the gospel. And like somebody that wrote the song many years ago that was called "This Holy Ghost Gospel is Dripping with Blood," and people have given their blood to see that the wonderful kingdom of God should be established in the earth. Not as America has so said, with liberty and justice for all, but as it is in the scriptures, with liberty and justice for all. His kingdom to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're trying to do our little bit, as Brother Taylor sings the song, "Brighten the Corner," wherever you are. Sister Winnie Floyd went on to be with the Lord a few days ago. And there's so many people, just so many people. It was just seemingly unreal. There's so many people. Like every little alley and out in front and everywhere, there was cars and people. But her testimony, her light, their singing had gotten around in a lot of places. And it was an outstanding thing is to see so many people. But she did what you're going to do one day. Everybody is going to do that. And everybody, every generation, until the change of the church, hath and will go the same way. Whether you be young, whether you be old, whether you be middle-aged, whatever, you're headed in one direction, and that's from the dust thou art to the dust thou shalt return because of the sins of Adam and Eve. God did not want it that way. And the other night, we brought out just a few little things concerning this. There's a few things that was kind of deep, and we didn't have time to elaborate on them like we would have liked to have elaborated on them. But they were things that pertain to why that things are like they are. I wish we'd had about 3 hours to have elaborated on them. But some of you that are spiritual, you perceive these things. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, seeing that I'm the overseer to the Gentile church, and the Gentile church is not as to the church in the wilderness, which was the Jewish church, not as to an intellectual law of a letter that killeth, and one that's continually in error, that's always violating and always doing the thing that's wrong, as it was murmuring and complaining against the priesthood and against Moses. Whereas God swore in his wrath that they should not enter into his rest, and he would not let them go into Canaan. He opened up the earth and caused the earth to swallow up every one of them, that not one of them that came out of Egypt went into Canaan, except Joshua and Caleb. And even Moses himself did not go over into Canaan. But the Lord having something better for Moses, he took him right into the glory land and appeared there between... Well, he appeared with Jesus and Elijah, as Jesus appeared between Moses and Elijah there in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. But anyway, he swore that they would not enter in, and Paul tells us, inasmuch as they did not enter into the rest of the Lord, therefore there remaineth the rest for God's people, that we should fear lest we ourselves seem to come short of entering into his rest. And there is a rest for God's people, and we've discovered that rest, and we've entered into that rest. And I trust that some of you have entered into that rest. And if you've not entered into that rest, then you need to enter into that rest. But these people were continually in transgression because, as Jesus said, going about to establish their own righteousness. Paul used the same terms, that they stumble at the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Confession unto salvation is made with the lips, and therefore we believe unto righteousness. Therefore we are never at any time in transgression concerning the things of God. We're perfect all the days of our life, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We never sin at any time in our life in his presence, and we're always, always justified, sanctified, glorified, having been perfected forever by his righteousness. Therefore, we are a people that please him, and we never at any time transgress his commandments or his ordinance. We're always pure in his sight, for we are his very flesh and bones. We are his children. We are covered by the blood. The life is in the blood, and this is his body. And that wonderful eternal life of purity and justification is in that blood. And that blood is within us, for royal blood flows within our veins. So then he's well pleased with this people, and having found fault with the first, the Bible said that he taketh away the first. And in this that Paul said, he's saying, take away the first. It means that he had brought the second that he might establish the second. For by the blood of bulls and goats, no flesh could be justified. By the law, no flesh could be justified. But by the blood of Jesus, we're justified and sanctified. And the Lord, having given himself for us as a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, and Christ himself having entered into the holies of holies, the veil now rent, he appeared at the right hand of our heavenly Father in the very presence of God to plead our cause. Satan is now cast out, and the accuser of the brethren is no more in the presence of God, and we're now perfected forever and waiting for the change of the body, which is the redemption as to the purchased possession. Which reminds me of that, about the Messiah, that this man about 80-something years old we mentioned the other night. Tens of thousands of followers across the world, and he says he's going to appear at the time of the redemption. He doesn't say that he is the Messiah. He doesn't say he isn't. But his followers say that he is, and he's over 80 years old. And they're pressing on him to reveal himself as the Messiah. He is a Jew. And there's two Jews as to these great outstanding leaders, these priests, which are rabbis. And they're at each other. One calls this group of people a bunch of unclean people, that they eat unclean flesh and they have no place with the Torah. And the others are in a charismatic order. They do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is saying that the redemption is at hand, and he will appear at the time of the redemption in Jerusalem. But there is something going on, because he does, I think it's about maybe 7 years of a dynasty, that of a priesthood of him, of one of the greats. There is no one else been groomed for that. It's two. A rabbi, and he has no children. So that's going to end it. That indicates something. That's outstanding. That definitely indicates that something is taking place as to whatever it would be. And I do know that redemption is near. And there's a lot of things that's happening. Maybe we'll mention a few things that we understand of it. a little farther down the trail. But right now, I just thought I'd run those things across your mind, because we are the people that please Him. We are the church without spot. He's coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And we are the church. I know that we get the idea, you know, that if we can just hold on, and if it will give us a few days more, and all these kind of things, and wait a little longer, Jesus. I know that. But if He waits a little longer, we'll be a little worse, because He waited a little longer, and we become a little worse. And if He waits a little longer, we'll be a little worse, and a little worse, and a little worse. And the Bible said if He doesn't show up in the days, there won't be no flesh spared. All of the people are going whoring after the world except the elect. And so the church is in 10 times, it's 10 times worse than it was 15 years ago. So that means that if we go by what we see and we go by what the church is doing, is to doing right, they're going backwards. Everything's in reverse. They're living worse than they ever lived in their life. They're more slack. They're going after ball games. They're going after bathing suits. They're going after money. They're going after businesses. They're going after prestige. They are lighthearted. They don't have any real devoutness in fasting and prayer. And even the most devout is lighthearted compared to what saints of God used to be. So it's very evident that we're justified by His grace through His faith. Saying Paul turned these people to light, from darkness to light, into the faith by which they're sanctified, even the faith which is in me. And having sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said He therefore hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and we believe unto righteousness with our heart, and make our confession unto salvation with our lips. And the Bible said, and they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb as to his righteousness, and by the word of their testimony as to confession to his righteousness. For we believe with the heart under righteousness, even his righteousness, and we make our confession with our lips, that no man confesseth cometh from his heart unto the salvation of our Lord, which means our deliverance as to the faith by which we are sanctified. And the Bible said, we're to contend for that faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Therefore, the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. He's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The Bible teaches that he's coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. The idea that the preacher's going to keep preaching to us and we're going to get better and better. Lord, give me another day. I feel under condemnation today. I was doing good yesterday, but now I'm not doing so good. And here we go like a dog chasing his tail, you know. Wandering in a wilderness like the old Indian death marks. Never learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth being not as the man that stood saying, Lord, I thank you that I pay tithe of all I possess. I'm righteous and I'm holy. But as the man that said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. See, so we are not justified by our own righteousness. We do not enter into his rest by our own ability. We have not accomplished anything in our own works. All of our works is as filthy rags. Only in his sight, as incorporated within his lifestyle, are we even accepted or even noticed as to being under the blood. No matter who we are, what we look like, what age we are, how much money we have, prestige or understanding, or how long we've been religious or whatever, it has nothing to do with it. All are just alike to him. Whether we're 10 years in this way or whether we're 5 years in this way. You sing, you know, songs, I'm in the way, and I'm in the way. And I've heard preachers get up behind them and say, well, get out of the way, we'll get out of the way. So if somebody else can get right with God. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we are sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We are the church that pleases him. We are under the new covenant. And in this, there's not even a conscience of sin. The blood of bulls and goats not being able to take away sin. Now the righteous blood of a spotless lamb has forever taken it away. Under the old covenant was brought back year by year as Aaron made the atonement. The remembrance of sin brought back year by year to Christ's memory. And he didn't like that. He didn't want that. It's like a man that marries a harlot. He forgives her, and every year she reminds him she's a harlot. And he gets to where he despises it. But then if she's innocent and she cannot help it, it comes something comes about as a way that he can take care of it, then he'll put it away from his mind forever that he might love and respect her if she's trying to do right. So then all having sinned and come short of the glory of God, all having turned to corruption and God delivered us, having delivered his son for the sin of all of us and him being delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now then we have a covenant wherein there is no conscience of sin. And these that have the blood of the Lamb, there is no conscience of sin. We have no conscience of sin. So we're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. We keep ourselves as to the inward man, having been sealed by the great Holy Spirit unto the day of the change of the redemption of the body. That means we're holy and godly and pure, and that Satan cannot touch us. And with this, we're well-pleasing in his sight. Well-pleasing, even at our very adverse moment of life or when we're under condemnation, he is saying, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I've engraved you in the palms of my hand that I might never forget you. And to lift up those holy hands that's made holy by me. You're sanctified by the faith that's within me. You're my precious children. And if you're children, then are you partakers? And if you are partakers, then are you partakers of all things? For I've given you all things that pertain unto life. And you are my precious children. You're a bone of my bone and you're a flesh of my flesh. And being the body of the Lord Jesus, as it is said, I find no fault in this just man. And Satan, the accuser, is cast out. There's not one thing that can be brought against you, for the Bible said you're God's elect, and God has justified you, and Christ has died for you, and no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, for he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And though he tells us to sanctify, he says every day, I say this as to a way of remembrance, that is for you to bring a daily sanctification as to submit this body as to a utilization of that wonderful heavenly treasure that's on the inside of your vessel, as to do something for God that you might subdue this body to keep the devil from aggravating the inner man. For the Bible said, we're stained from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. And I know that a lot of you don't restrain yourself from that. You should do that. You know, you look, you eat, you drink, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the thoughts, appetites, the frivolousness of the flesh, the gullible desires of your human being, and you don't do it, but you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to mortify the deeds of the flesh, kill out the deeds of the body, do away with all the natural things. You're not supposed to give place not to one thought of the flesh, because it's the beast, it's dead. God hates that image that you're born with, and it's killed, it's dead, it's gone. He despises it. No matter how much you try to build it up, make it look good, give it positions in life, money, education, prestige, appearance, whatever it might be, your thoughts, it doesn't do you any good. God still hates it. He despises it. He gave his testimony against it and showed you what he thought about it at Calvary when he smote it in all of its fury. But in Christ Jesus, you are made alive as to the body of the Lord Jesus and bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as being one with God Almighty. So then God has so fixed it to where you are his precious darling children, and if children, heirs and partakers with Jesus Christ, even joint heirs, which means whatever he has, that's what you have. Whatever he is, so are ye in him, and ye are complete in him, that you are lacking nothing. So you are without spot. You are perfect in his sight. And this covenant that hath made with us, even with the blood of Jesus, makes us without spot, to wrinkle, or blemish. And he said, I'm coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, or blemish. Some people get the ironic idea that a preacher is going to preach and preach and preach until they're going to live better and live better and live better and live better until after a while they're just going to be so perfect. And in this, they get self-righteous, and they get to where even God can't stand them. And they never really have anything to praise God about. They're like an old grump all the time because they don't have any joy. And they're not walking in the Spirit and everything they do. They're like the Jews. It's a self-righteous thing that's repulsive in the sight of God. And more holy than thou. And they can't fellowship nobody. They can't talk to nobody. Even though Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans, he was not partakers of them nor their ways. He got the testimony over to them. But you get yourself in such a horrible mess until you're no good to God or anybody else. And then you get wretched. You get under condemnation when the Lord is saying all the time, happy is he that does not condemn himself in that thing which he alloweth. That is to say, you should not condemn yourself in the thing that you stumble into and stagger into when you're trying to do your best. Whereas I know the devils, you know, they gloat and say, well, glory to God, I didn't know I was in such good shape. I didn't know that God had me perfect, you know, when I know I'm living like a pig. Let's give the Lord a hand. I can assure you that you're not in good shape. You need to be born again, because if you're doing those things, you do have a pig nature. And it's a good proof that you won't ever be anything but a pig. If you have already come to the knowledge of the Lord and you're still doing those things and going after those things, that's pretty good proof that you are a pig, or as the Bible said, a dog. Because when you come to the knowledge of the Lord, you'll get away from those things if you are the elect of God. And as I was telling my wife this morning, it's not hard to reach out and pick up somebody that's out in the mire, that's never known God and never known the right things of God. And you see their weakness and you see their helplessness and you want to help them get out. And then you tell them about the beautiful things of God, and they clean up and put on a beautiful garment. And they wash themselves, you know, and they're so wonderfully adorned in the beauty of cleanliness. But when you see somebody that you helped to get out of the mire, and they come and they wallow in the mire and learn more about God and go back to the vomit and learn more and go back to wanting money and prestige and security and all these other intellectual things in the world and education, position, and whatever, they are pigs and dogs. There's no need to wash them, because the Bible said after that the old sow has been washed, she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. And after the dog has been taken away from his vomit, he'll just go back and lap his vomit again. He likes those things in the world, the little jokes and the little things that you can do, and watching the little frolics on television and keeping up with the ball score in the paper, you know, and to reading the little true love stories and all these other frivolous things. It's always some things of the world in your mind on buying and selling and getting gain and whatever. You're a pig, you're a dog. It's all right to go on and get the fullness of it, because you're in the land of Esau. That's your reward. Esau, you're blind, and that's your land, and we're just passing through. But to you that do love the Lord, that has been born again, if you have his spirit, you have eternal life. If you have not his spirit, you're none of his, no matter how much you try to believe or how churchy you are. And you are the children of God. Though you stumble, a good man falls seven times, he'll get back up. Because he did not fall as to go to the wrong places out of desire, or to do the wrong things because he had a desire. But he stumbled into those things when he was looking for the right thing and trying his best to do right. Trying his best to go to the right places. And Satan tripped him, and he'll just get right back up by the grace of God. And he's spotless. And happy are ye that did not condemn yourselves over those things when they happen, because Satan's desire is to tear down your faith so that he can take away your shield, so he can torment you and torture you and keep you drafted in that you cannot exercise your faith for peace and happiness to be a light for Christ and to be able to have power to do something to deliver others. So don't condemn yourself over it. Don't pay any attention to it. The accusations of mine, the oppressions of mine. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find a law that evil is present with me when I would do good. And the good that I would do as to an inner will of the inner man, which is sealed with the Holy Spirit. He said, I don't do it because I'm entrapped by the outer man as to an accusation and some evil blasphemous thing that's always attacking me in my mind and my thought, which I do not allow for that that's evil. I do not allow for that. That which I do, I do not allow for it. That is that I'm overtaken in or stumble into. These things are these accusing thoughts that harass my mind. I don't allow for these things. I don't allow for them. I don't give place to them. Not for a minute, because charity thinketh no evil. And I don't allow for these things. And I don't take these things into my understanding. Neither do I give place to Satan, not for a minute. I bring the flesh down. I put the flesh down. I don't think on thoughts of vengeance and temper and lust and evil. And then after I chew on that old thing like a cow chewing on the cud, then say, well, that ain't what I want. I'm godly. I don't do that. Paul said, I don't do that. But anyway, he said, I thank God that that old body is dead by Calvary. And what I could not do because of the law, my weakness is to the beast body. Jesus is now my body at the right hand of the Father. All, everything is all finished as to the works, and that is now my body, my spirit, my life in Christ went with him when he left, and it's now in that body. And I'm now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and now everything is fulfilled and I'm perfect in his sight. Holy Spirit sealing my spirit is the proof of the earnestness of my inheritance unto the time of the purchased possession as to the redemption of the body, which is the change, as in Thessalonians, and it will come, he said. And so let us rejoice, because our joy is what overflows and keeps the old devils of demons and filth quiet that tries to attack our mind. The more we rejoice in the Lord and have a good time and come together, the greater our strength. The less of the accusation, the less of these things come to us. And I don't mean, as I said before, when you lust after some man or lust after some woman or lust after some thing in the world and money and prestige and go and don't do nothing for God and don't work for God and never pray and never fast and just go around shedding a tear once in a while to console yourself, you know, to make yourself think like Esau, who shed many tears, that you are a child of God and join yourself with the children of God, to go to church to soothe your conscience, and you know you're lusting after men with your eyes and you're moved and you're sparked up and you're not right with God. You don't have God. You don't have God. There's nothing in you that testifies of God. But you that do love the Lord, and you that do have a continual warfare all the day long, you that desire with all of your soul to be like Jesus, you do have His Spirit. And that life is going to be made manifest in your mortal genes as your cup runs over. So you hold on to what you got. And I know I'm talking to you. I was going to preach to you, but I got to talking to you. I do this once in a while. And in doing it, you know, the Lord wants it that way, because as I said so many times, Jesus just got, he sat down on a little boat, he pulled out from the shore, pushed out, and he taught the people, or he sat down on the top of the mountain and he taught the people. And sometimes I just come here and I talk with you a few minutes, and it kind of catches the devil off guard. It's the carnal mind, you know, and I'm able to get a few thoughts over to you, but not even preaching to you. But in that, I'm probably not going to be here tonight for service. Might be better that I just talk to you a little. Exhorting you the more as we see the day approaching. We're glad to have you here. Glad to have Philip and his family here. And it's kind of hard for me to tell as I look around because of the lights being causing everything to be so blurry. But if you're here and I don't see you, if I don't know that you're here, we're grateful that you're here. We appreciate you being here. Someone would say, well, what do you have to say of Little Bethlehem, Brother Pike? Well, Little Bethlehem is the perfect church. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. I know somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, you need to change churches. Let's give the Lord a hand. Anything that feels imperfect don't need to be with the perfect people. So the Bible said he hath perfected forever his church. And we're his church. And if there's other churches around that don't feel perfect, they don't belong to him. And maybe if they'll work on it, maybe one of these days they'll make contact with him, and then they can be part of us. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So we love the Lord Jesus. We believe in the Lord Jesus. We have reason to praise the Lord Jesus. Some people feel like they're so religiously good, that's why they don't feel perfect. They feel like they're not quite as good as they need to be, because they're allowing for a few things, but they're going to work it out before it gets here. But there's no reason for those people to praise the Lord, and as a result of that, they really don't. They just have a ritualistic where they get together, you know, and they holler and scream and dance and go on like a bunch of kids. But they go out and they do the same old things, back to the wallowing in the mire, back to the lapping of the vomit, and they're the same old people every day, gullibly after the things of the world. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, because he's the god of the flesh and the god of the world. But there are people that love God and they believe in his righteousness and they're trusting in him. Paul said, if it's of works, then I can boast and I have no reason to praise the Lord. I need to praise myself. I need everybody to praise me, because I'm the one that's doing it. But then if it's not of me, if it's not of works, if it's the Lord Jesus, then I have reason to praise the Lord. So my congregation is taught that we come to praise the Lord, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, to praise him, to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, that we should love him and love our neighbors, ourselves, to love one another, not in word, but in deed. For we're to love indeed. Love is real. It's indeed. I know there's a little saying in the world. I saw the sign over here at a church. It said, you know, you're to love, love. But to say love, that's one thing. To practice love is another thing altogether. Love is indeed love. People all talk about love everywhere. In the Masons, they love one another. In the Woodsmen of the world, they love one another. Everybody loves one another, you know. But there's no love there. There's no love. They practice their greed and their wrong and their selfishness. They don't love man nor God. But people who love one another and people who love God, you do it to the least of these, you do it to Christ. And you love one another, you'll do something for them. Love is to love one to another. I'd like to read scripture here. Chapter 3 in the book of St. John, the first chapter, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So then ye must be born again. God is a Spirit. And if you've never come into the Spirit, then you've never been born again. Someone would say, well, I believe. I know there is what you call a stillbirth, but the child is dead. If a child comes and there's no life, then the child is dead. If there's no Spirit, there's no life. For the Spirit is life. All these churches that are not spiritual are dead. And the formalistics, the ritualistics, all dead. But if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he will by his Spirit also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. For ye are the temples of the living God. The great Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. He walks in you. He talks in you, and the Bible says that if any man deny that this great Holy Spirit has come in the flesh or Christ has come in the flesh, that man is an antichrist. Don't pay any attention to him because Christ lives in the human body. He walks in the human body, and we're not antichrist. We believe that he is in our human body. And if you're just a believer, that doesn't mean anything. If you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. This life is in the Son, and that Son is a quickening Spirit. All the last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. That Son is a quickening spirit. If you have that quickening spirit on the inside of you, then it will quicken your mortal flesh, and it is eternal life. And if you have not that spirit, then you're none of his. So being a believer, that's not enough. It's just a stillbirth. That's all. You love the Lord? Somebody said, what do you mean stillbirth? Well, you did come to the knowledge of the truth. And you did come to the blood on the seat of atonement. You did enter into the presence of the Lord as to the light of his glory and his illumination and his love. As in this world, the Bible said to taste of the Holy Ghost and to taste of the good word of God and the power of the world to come. But you did fall away because you was not one of the elect. Therefore, it was a stillbirth. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. A lot of things I'd like to say to you, but I trust that these few things that I've said unto you will be sufficient as to the cause of your Christianity and your way in the Lord. You pray for me, pray for my companion, pray for our loved ones. And our loved ones, these are our loved ones right here. We pray for them all the time. We pray for you. Pray for your children. We pray for you, your wife, or your husband, and your mother and your daddy, though I don't know how much you pray for your mother and daddy. We pray for your mother and daddy. I don't know how much you pray for your brothers and sisters, but we pray for your brothers and sisters. Maybe they don't stand out too much in your eyes or in your life as to whether you care or not, you know, but we care. And whether you get along with them or whether you don't get along with them, we still pray for them. And we ask God to save them. Whether you're from way off or whether you're from low, you know, locally, we still pray for them. You pray for us. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Appreciate your attention this morning. Trust that this little exhortation might be a blessing to you. The Bible said exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The altars are open. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Why don't all of us just come to the altar this morning and pray together, kind of joined together as concerning the thing down in Texas. It might be a great, wonderful thing as to an outlet or something for the Lord Jesus. And you're involved in it because if you bid a thing, God's speed, you partakers. And if you don't bid it, God's speed, and it's God, then you're not partakers. And if it's evil and you bid it, God's speed, you're still partakers. The Bible speaks of one coming to your house, not to even invite him into your home. Don't bid him God's speed. Don't give him an offering. Don't do nothing. Because if you even agree with him at all, then you're in trouble. So sing that with me again. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing it like this now. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Sing it like this. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing that with me again, can you? Oh, come into my heart, Lord, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus.
Jesus gave her water,
but not from the well.
Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to town. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. One more time. She went forth and away a singing, and she came back a bringing others to the water. Wasn't let's sing this little chord. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. I read in the Bible, God so loved sinners, gave his son to die in the clay. And he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his wonderful I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let's give him a wave offering. Streets of gold, your walls of jasper. Sing it again now. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river someday. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord. One more time. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river someday. See his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvel. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, pure walls of jasper. The Lord for his wonderful grace. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river someday. I'll see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. The Lord for his one more time. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river someday. I'll see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for
one more time.
Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see us with Him. I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for marvelous grace. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away.
One more time together, let's sing.
And we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away.
One more time together. And we will pray. Can you lift your hands up to God? The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. In the latter days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, getting past feeling. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and many will substitute many things in their life for the word, changing the word, and that we don't want to do. For time shall be no more, no more, and shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it with me now.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and then time shall be no more. So I will praise Him. I will praise
Him. While we're singing this together, for the benediction, I'm going to ask Brother Keith, if you'll come up. First time Keith has been with me here in the service, but I'd like for him to come up if he will and dismiss us and pray the closing prayer. If you will, just
lift your hands up with me.
Lift your hands up together. Let's close our eyes and let's worship the Lord. Remember, we come here to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And even though I've just kind of talked with you a little bit this morning and just exhorted you, yet we come together to love the Lord. And I know you do love the Lord. Let's sing it again now. I...